MRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Police in Shenandoah County say a swatting incident led to a school lockdown Wednesday. In a stop in Harrisonburg, Governor Youngkin announces millions for investments in workforce housing. And a new poll shows a majority of Virginians opposed to Trump's tariffs and Doge cuts. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, May 22nd. Schools in northern Shenandoah County were placed on a lockdown Wednesday afternoon after a threat was made by a community member. WHSV reports that at about 12:17 p.m., the Shenandoah County Emergency Communications Center received a call from a male caller stating that he was outside of a county public school and was going to enter the school. He gave the street address of a Shenandoah County public school and provided additional information regarding his actions. Schools on the northern campus in Shenandoah County were placed on lockdown, and schools on the central and southern campuses were placed on secure status. Police say the incident appears to be a swatting call, a type of prank that forces a police response. Governor Glenn Youngkin announced a $17 million investment in workforce housing across the Commonwealth, including Harrisonburg. WMRA's Calvin Pinn reports.
During the announcement, Youngkin said the investment will encourage an influx of workers following new business developments in the Commonwealth over the past few years.
Now, what's left out of all of that is one issue. Where are they going to live? You see, in a growing state, a state that has more people moving here than moving away for the first time in over a decade, we are attracting even more talent.
Harrisonburg will receive around $1.2 million to fund the development of the flats at West Market, which will see a former office building converted into 89 rental units in the city's downtown area. The governor chose to announce the statewide investment in Harrisonburg, which he said exemplifies the collaboration between the private sector and local government to create housing for workers moving to Virginia.
We are standing here in this hub of innovation, celebrating innovation in how we collaborate to unlock this opportunity. And so we are particularly focusing on the flats at West Market. The flats at West Market are, of course, Harrisonburg's opportunity to celebrate this great collaboration in workforce housing.
Harrisonburg is one of 10 localities that will receive an initial round of funding through the state's Workforce Housing Investment Program. Virginia Housing, which facilitates the program, has committed $75 million over the next 5 years towards building 5,000 units of workforce housing across the Commonwealth. Elsewhere in the valley, the city of Winchester will also receive $3 million to revitalize a former storage facility into a mixed-use development. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
A business-sponsored poll of likely Virginia voters shows most people opposed to President Trump's tariffs on imports from foreign countries. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports the poll also shows opposition to the Department of Government Efficiency's unilateral cuts to federal government jobs and spending. The Virginia Free poll, surveying 1,000 likely voters between May 9th and May 13th, showed 61% opposed to Trump's tariff policies on imports from China and other U.S. trading partners, with opposition highest among women and black voters. Smaller majorities of men and white voters said they oppose the president's tariffs. A 53% majority of voters polled said they oppose DOGE cuts to the federal workforce and spending. DOGE, based in the White House, is an operation that billionaire Elon Musk initially led. Opposition is strongest in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, where the cuts are hitting hardest. Governor Youngkin has signed on to a joint letter with other Republican governors in support of a mammoth bill being pushed in Congress by President Trump. The bill would cut $625 billion from Medicaid over the next decade if passed. The federal program helps states provide health care coverage to low-income people and those with disabilities. Democratic lawmakers, advocacy groups, Medicaid beneficiaries, and some Republicans have cautioned against the proposal for months. Youngkin and other governors in their letter said they supported the extension of Trump's 2017 tax cuts. Critics say those cuts overwhelmingly benefit the wealthy, and the Congressional Budget Office estimates that in its current form, the legislation would add $2.3 trillion to the deficit over 10 years, which would force massive cuts to Medicare, which primarily covers people over 65. Northern Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly died Wednesday morning after a battle with cancer. Connolly served as chairman of the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors before being elected to Congress in 2008. Michael Pope reports on Connolly's life and legacy.
Jerry Connolly was Irish, very Irish. He had a quick wit and a short temper. People who knew him and worked with him for decades say he knew what he wanted and he was often determined about making it happen. Here's former Republican Congressman Tom Davis, who held the 11th congressional district before Connolly was elected.
He was a strong-willed leader if he wanted something done. But he also knew, you know, how to cut the deal and when to compromise. So our region, our state is missing a real asset. He had, I think, protected Northern Virginia's interests in Congress, particularly contractors and employees, which are the bulk of our employment in Northern Virginia.
Former State Senator Emily Miller says Connolly worked to transform Republican strongholds in Northern Virginia into reliably Democratic territory.
I don't know how we're going to handle this. It's going to be very hard to say goodbye. I mean, it was so fast. I mean, it really was too fast for us to really let Jerry how much we appreciated him. So I think his legacy is going to be what he wanted it to be, that he was a fighter for his constituents and for Virginia.
He's survived by his wife, Smitty, and a daughter, Caitlin. Michael Pope.
Despite additional investments in Virginia's early childhood education system, there will still be a long wait list for subsidized child care in the state come July 1st. Megan Pauley with VPM News reports.
While state officials estimate about 4,000 children will be able to move off a wait list for the child care subsidy program in the new fiscal year, thousands of additional families will still have to wait. Jenna Conway, who runs early childhood education for Virginia, says that not resolving the issue for over a year is creating a real disconnect and disruption in the system.
You can't pay your tuition with a waitlist spot. All you can do is wait.
As of May 1st, nearly 8,000 kids up to age 5 remain waitlisted. But Conway told VPM News applications have slowed over the last several months because the delays have discouraged new families from applying, instead choosing to opt out of the workforce. She says this trend will have consequences for kids, families, and the economy.
Megan Pauley reporting. Former Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger made a campaign stop in Ruby Red Hanover County Wednesday. The Democratic gubernatorial candidate was there to discuss her plans to address health care costs, but she found more than just the press and local supporters. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner has more.
Just over the Hanover County line sits the locally owned Mechanicsville drugstore. It's the kind of place that still has a breakfast counter alongside greeting cards and a pharmacy. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Abigail Spanberger was there to talk about her plans to address healthcare costs, but touched on why she first ran for Congress back in 2017 and when then Congressman Dave Brat, who she later unseated, voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
So many Virginians would have been impacted had that repeal gone through that got me and many, many people motivated to run for office. And so now, unfortunately, we're seeing much of the same.
Among attendees was Major Mansfield, a local Tea Party and GOP member. He admitted to the candidate why he was originally familiar with her.
I worked for Dave Brat a long time ago.
Well, you did a good job of getting him elected a couple times. Sorry about that last one. But...
After an awkward hug, Mansfield said he sought out Spanberger Wednesday in the hopes of getting her to speak at his church, but he also said his daughter was among those who recently lost federal benefits because of what he called administrative incompetence.
It's been a nightmare, and meanwhile, she has the bills piling up.
When asked if he thought Spanberger or her Republican opponent, Winsome Earl Sears, would help with the problem, he took a long breath.
Well, I would sure hope so.
In Hanover County, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Finally today, the pharmaceutical industry generates about 300 million tons of plastic a year to package its products. The University of Virginia got to thinking about that problem and has arrived at a partial solution. Also with Virginia Public Radio, Sandy Hausman reports.
UVA's medical center fills about 800,000 prescriptions each year, most in plastic vials. But it's partnering with a new company to try something different, a vial made of specially coated paper. Carrie Kovacic helps to manage the system's distribution of medications. She says the containers do still have plastic caps, that attach to a plastic collar on each vial.
Because you have to make sure that it's still moisture resistant, humidity resistant, child resistant. And so keeping that adapter and cap plastic helps to make sure that the prescription medications are still safe and secure.
These containers can be composted or recycled. They cost about the same as those made of plastic and produce 30% less carbon in the manufacturing process. And because they're mostly paper, they're easy to decorate.
These are the two colors, green and kind of floral, and then blue and kind of a leaf pattern on it.
UVA launched a pilot program on Earth Day using the new containers at two of its pharmacies. But if all goes well there, Kovacic says they'll expand system-wide. I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. I thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.